Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, hey, we want to turn it over to Jeff and Mary Beth. If you were with us for our extravaganza a couple years ago, two, 3 years ago, Jeff did our object lesson in our gospel presentation in the park there, and did a great job for us. And they've partnered with us on a few things. And Jeff worked in Lincoln, as engineer, right?
Yep.
And then he was always involved in their Wednesday night Roll Rangers and Missionettes. They were very involved with Christ Place doing that. And then they did a trip to Sudan. They were there for a year or two.
8 months.
Yep. And then they came back, and then he was the children's pastor at Christ Place. Did that for several years, and then went back to the secular workplace, and God was just kind of working on their heart, and they were kind of trying to process, kind of knocking on the door, and a couple times God kind of closed it on you, and it's kind of like, God, we're willing, and you know, God's ways are always higher than our ways, and so it's all come together, and so we're excited to have them share with us this morning. So,
thank you. Well, I get a start. My name's Mary Beth, obviously Jeff. First of all, just thanks for coming out this morning. I know the weather is not favorable. Sometimes it's easy to stay home, tucked warm in your bed, but we appreciate that you're here getting to hear what God is saying. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to show up. He's so much better at communicating what he wants to say than we ever are, so I'm just believing for that. I get the privilege of just telling you a little bit about who we are. Obviously, Brent stole most of my story, but I'll just give you a few highlights. Jeff and I have been married for almost 23 years. We have 5 amazing children. Our oldest daughter, Faith, is there standing next to me in the picture. She's 20. Next to Jeff on the other side is our daughter, Joy. She's a senior. She'll graduate from high school this year. And we're at Lincoln Christian along with the Bys. So, and Brett was referring to our sad loss yesterday. Our daughter is captain of the cheer squad, and it was heartbreaking. She was crying at the end of the game. But our son John is 16. He's a sophomore. Grace is 13, and Hope on this end is 10. And the younger three are the ones that'll be coming with us overseas into the Arab world. And obviously, we're super excited to have them with us. There's some adjustment and some processing of leaving everything behind, but just trusting that God will continue to work on their hearts and show them that his plans are always best. But in October 2005, we were at Christ Place, and they were having their missions weeks. I think they usually did 2 Sundays in a row. And the first Sunday, it was Scott and Crystal Martin that came and spoke. And Scott Martin is the leader of Chi Alpha throughout the Assemblies of God world. And a very motivational speaker, just really is able to clearly communicate the calling that God has on our lives. And during his presentation, he talked about give a year and pray about a lifetime. And we were like 30-something at that point, and we had 4 children. And his message is usually spoken to college students who are able to, you know, leave everything and go to wherever God is sending them. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit just, like, it zingered right on both of us. I mean, we were in tears and just felt like God was saying, you know, you guys can do this. You can give a year and pray about a lifetime. We didn't exactly know how that would look. I mean, Jeff had a professional job as an engineer. I was homeschooling our children, I think, at the time. It was just like, okay. And then the next week, the speaker that they brought in, his name is Dick Brogdon, and he is a well-known missionary he now is kind of over the Live Dead movement, which we'll be working with. It was like God was saying, okay, here, I'm going to put a 1-2 punch on you and you're down. And so we were like, okay, Lord, we knew, we've always felt the call to missions. I, as a child, God put Africa on my heart. We've been on, I mean, Jeff's first mission trip to Haiti was when he was 13, I think, then to Honduras. We've been all over the world, different continents at different times, but always short-term stuff. And so we felt God calling us. to somehow figure out how to do something a little bit longer than just a couple weeks. And I love this part of our story because God just opened the doors, gave us the courage. It was a really hard period of time. When you're going with an organization like Assemblies of God, they have some amazing systems in place, but they're hard sometimes to jump through their hoops. And so we had to be debt-free. We had to be, you know, we had to sell our home. We had to do all these things that, you know, to get ourselves in that position to go. And I love this part of our story because Jim and Christy Bai are part of that story. They are, we actually were not cleared to leave. We had done all the fundraising, sold our house, gotten, I think we had sold our house and that is how we paid off all our debt. And so we couldn't get our clearance to go until that was done. So we had to be out of our house and had nowhere to go.
Homeless and jobless.
It was fun. But we had to live in Jim and Christy Bai's basement for a while. And they took all six of us into their home along with their family. And Christy helped me pack my, I don't know how many Rubbermaids, like 20? At least 18, yes. And Christy has a gift of organization. If you know her, she was like keeping me in line, like, okay, let's itemize this. Let's make sure we know where everything is. But we were just looking through pictures, and it's going to make me cry, but just we were in their driveway taking pictures of us getting ready to head to the airport with all of our stuff and all of our family with us. So anyway, we were in the Sudan, northern Sudan, from September of 2007 to May of 2008. And that was hard. That was really hard. We showed up during Ramadan. Didn't know a whole lot about what that meant, except no one was out during the day, you know, and we were kind of jet-lagged anyway, and literally, it'd be like we came, I think we slept until midday the first day, and then no one was up, and then, like, we were up during the night, and everybody else was up during the night, and, like, this is weird, you know, the whole town came alive, but just being in a Muslim culture was very, very different, very just very oppressive. You don't even know. When you can hear the call of the mosque, I don't remember how many.
18.
We could see 18 mosques from our house. When you're surrounded by that, and literally wherever you walk at certain times of day, everybody's down praying. I mean, it was just like such a culture shock. And we'd been other places, but never something like this. And so I'm telling you all of this because it has a little bit to do with, I think, why we've taken a little bit longer to get where we are right now. Because going the first time, I didn't know what I know now. And it took a little bit longer for me to be able to say, yes, God. And I knew the call was there, but it was like when you're naive, it's a little easier to say yes than when you know exactly what it's going to look like. So we got pregnant with our fifth child while we were in the Sudan and came back, we thought, for just 3 months to gather supplies and head back. But through a series of circumstances and prayer and just listening to the Lord, we felt like we needed to stay here. Looking back at her birth and how it happened, we're so glad we did because we're not sure if our story would be a little different if we'd been over there. And then shortly after we made that decision to stay here, we felt like we were... Honestly, we felt like we were failing. We knew God had said it was okay, but we were like, you know, I think this feels like almost aborted. Like it's a process that God was growing and birthing in us, and it was stopped. And that was really, really hard. But God is so faithful. He opened the door for Jeff to be the children's pastor at Christ Place, which was such a blessing. We love Christ Place. We loved the opportunity to minister there. We loved the opportunity to speak into the lives of the kids. And we were there from July 2009 to July 2015. And kind of what happened was we'd gone on a couple short-term missions trips together to Slovakia, actually. The most recent ones, well, we were in South Africa since then, but we were able to work with the Gypsy Roma people there. Not a third world country, but these people live in basically cardboard boxes, no running water. I mean, it's just, and you're right outside the regular villages, and the Roma people aren't allowed to go in to some of the buildings and the restaurants. There's a lot of racism towards this people group. And God just started working on our hearts to share who he was and the love he has for people with those that aren't able to hear about him. And so that was in 2014, and so we started just kind of praying and talking about it, and we went back in 2015. And at that point, I think God kind of gets us away sometimes where we're not surrounded. We didn't even have cell phones. We couldn't communicate with our kids. I mean, it was like taking us away from everything that we normally run to for distraction and able to hear his voice. And we came away from that time, that 2015 trip, with just the knowledge that we needed to move forward in this. And that's when I think maybe June of 2015 is when our final day at Christ Place was, which was super hard. Our kids just sobbed and cried. And we loved that our kids were sad to not be pastor's kids anymore. I mean, you'd think some kids, if they haven't had a good experience, they're like, yay, mom and dad aren't doing this anymore. But our kids, they loved it. They loved being able to minister with us. So then we thought that God would open the doors really, really quickly. He'd given us a word. It was time to move forward. And yet, like I mentioned, I think there was this hesitancy. And I think part of me was like, you know, Europe would be okay. Let's get called to Europe. That sounds good. And so we actually did kind of pray and pursue. We'd actually had some conversations with missionaries while we were over in Slovakia that said, yeah, if you guys ever leave Christ Place, we want you here working with our team. And so we contacted them, and crickets. It was like, okay, that's obviously, you know, they're not interested anymore. And then we kind of tried to go another direction. I think even like a church in Belgium talked to us about being kids. I mean, there was just like these little opportunities that we're like, oh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. But to be honest, we could never come into agreement and never get a peace until we finally said, you know, if you want us back where you sent us before, we'll go. And we'll go work with Muslims again. And it's been good, but it's been hard. It's been processing all of that. But I think it's good to count the cost when you're deciding to do something. So we are going to be going to the Middle East, to the Arab world. We're going to start with language school in Amman, Jordan, and spend a couple years there. And like I mentioned, three of our children will be there with us. Our son will be going into his senior year when we leave. So we're kind of dialoguing about, he doesn't want to miss it. So we're dialoguing about how to have him maybe finish his credits at Lincoln Christian before we go, or what we're going to all do. But we've had some family offer to have him stay here. And he's like, he literally has said, you know, anybody can go to the same high school and play football at the same school all 4 years, but not everybody gets this opportunity. So anyway, we're super blessed. Again, they waver. They're not all like, yay, all the time. But we're super excited. So.
Thank you so much. You guys give my wife a hand clap. I was just about ready to sit down and say, you know, babe, why don't you just preach the message? You're doing great. So, no, that's awesome. Oh, thank you. So we'll be working with a Live Dead team. You see that banner that we have there. If you haven't heard of Live Dead, Live Dead focuses on three things. They want to plant churches. That's the main thrust. Everywhere Live Dead is, that's our focus, is to plant a church. They want to do it among unreached people groups. Or in other words, they want to plant churches where there are no churches now. So when we lived in Africa, we were in a community, a metropolitan area of about 13 million. And I knew of three churches. And so I've been talking with pastors here in Nebraska, and in their town of 900, there's six churches. And so we want to go where there's no churches now. And so they plant churches among unreached people groups, and they do it in teams. So it's missionaries, multinational, multi-ethnic teams working together, with different organizations and companies, all together working to build the kingdom of God, not necessarily the assemblies of God. Those are two different things, amen? And so we want to make Jesus known, and that's what we focus on. And we're so excited. But at the beginning of this, I did literally say out loud, I don't want to go back to Muslims, you know? But don't ever tell God what you won't do. And so I would say I'm so thankful that God changed our hearts, because to be honest, if you look at Muslims as the enemy, you've got a problem, because you need to look at Muslims and say that these are people that are hungry for an experience with God. These are people that want a relationship with God. And so we just want to introduce them to the true God. All right, to the true. And so with that in mind, I want to give a gift to your pastor. This is a gift written by Dick Brogdon. It's called This Gospel, and it's a collection of mission sermons related to reaching the unreached. And so I'm not saying that your sermons are bad. Please don't. I'm not suggesting that. All right, but I just thought you'd enjoy that, and so please. I'm sure you have a long reading list already, but you can add that to the pile. So, additionally, I just wanted to give a little shout out. If you haven't heard of Live Dead, we have some books available on the back table. These are journals. It's a 30-day devotional. There's a short reading that you read in scripture, and then a devotional reading from missionaries that are on the ground in areas that are planting churches. And so if you would like a copy of this, we just ask $5. That's our cost. And so we ask for a suggested donation of $5. But if you if you're interested in Muslims, if you have a negative attitude about Muslims, and read this book, it will change your attitude. All right, it will completely revolutionize how you do that if you do the activities and everything in it. And along with that, I want to everything else on our table, you're free to take. And so I want to invite you to grab one of our prayer cards. The only thing I ask is that if you take it, that you pray for us. That's right. You can put us on the refrigerator, put us on your sink where you brush your teeth, put us by the toilet. Maybe that's awkward. All right. So put us somewhere. All right. A bookmark in your Bible. Okay. Somewhere that you'll see often. Please pray for us. Thank you so much. All right. Settle that. Now, I wanted to, Miss Mary Beth talked about all of the ways and all the times in our life where we were God slowly and just consistently calling us, all right, where we feel called to go overseas. And what I want to talk to you guys today, kids, listen up here because you got to pay attention here really soon, so is that you guys are called to. And I want to talk to you about what you're called to do, all right? And you're called to do three things. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is that you're called to pray. Is that everybody prays. Go ahead, and I think I have that first slide up there. Do we have? There we go. Everybody. So you are called to pray. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. All right? And so many times in our life, we think of prayer as something that is sort of just extra, all right? It's not something that really means anything. It's just like, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, you know, I'll pray. It's sort of like I care about you, but I'm really not going to do anything for you, all right? And so we might need to change the way we think about prayer, all right? So Hope, could I ask you to come up here and bring that cup up here with you? Now, I want to do this simple little object lesson on prayer. And so it's going to be here. So we think of, go ahead and everyone hold your hand in front of your face. Now blow. Feel that? All right, go ahead and put your cup on the head. All right, we all have air and wind. Did anyone see their breath? Maybe if you didn't brush your teeth this morning, you did. All right, but that's okay. All right, that's all right. So, but our breath can do things even if you don't see the breath, you see the effects of it. You want to see that amazing trick again? Amazing. You can try this at home, okay? This is the one you can try at home. Here you go. You ready? All right, awesome. Can you give Hope a hand for me? Thank you, guys. Awesome. 12 years ago, we had the opportunity to come here to Radiant Springs. I actually preached a message the sanctuary, the church was turned. That was where the stage was. It was totally different. Anyone here 12 years ago heard us speak? Awesome. Perfect. Some of you. Okay. In that process, we were visiting some other friends in Manhattan, Kansas. And Grace over here, she was 2 at the time when we went down and visited in Kansas. And we're visiting some friends. And she reached up and she grabbed their keyboard, much like this keyboard here. And she pulled it down and the keyboard fell down on her chest. And she was laying there, and she said her stomach hurt, and my wife said, I really think we need to call the ambulance. So called the ambulance. They came, put her in the ambulance. In the ambulance, Grace loses consciousness. She passes out. Ambulance hits the lights, drives into Manhattan, the 12-minute drive-in. And we get to the hospital, and we arrive there, and they say, we don't know what's going on with your daughter. We're not prepared. We don't have the facilities to handle a 2-year-old here. She has something going on internally. We have a helicopter over here waiting for her. And so we feel like we need to life flight her to Kansas City, 90 minutes away. Bam, just life changed. And I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Hasse, there's no room on the helicopter for you. And so I'm putting my 2-year-old baby on a helicopter. that morning on the way down to visit our friends, for some reason God just put on my mind, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. And so we put Grace on the helicopter, and we drove the 90 minutes. Yes, I sped. And we got there, and we were praying for her all the way there, singing that song. We get there, and they said, you know, she's got a class 3 liver laceration, which basically means that her liver just split. You know, your liver's a solid organ, and it just kind of broke like a cantaloupe, you know. And so then they said, we don't think we have to do surgery, but we're just going to watch her. And so we prayed, and over the course of 2 days, God healed her liver back together. She did not need surgery. So it was a total miracle. So we thank God for that. That happened Sunday. Monday morning, I get a call. We're still in Children's Hospital in Kansas City. Get a call, and it's Mark Canfield. Some of you guys might know Mark Canfield. He helped plant this church here. And we were friends, but we weren't close friends. I mean, we didn't see each other all the time. And he just called, and he said, hey, you guys, how are things going? And I said, fine. You know, I'm sort of that Christian, fine, why do you ask? You know, I'm not sure I want to tell you everything. And Mark said, well, we were getting ready for church yesterday, and you guys just came to our mind, and we felt like we should pray for you, and so we did. What's going on? See, we pray because we believe things happen when we pray that wouldn't if we didn't. Can you put that up on the screens right there? We pray because we believe things happen when we pray that wouldn't if we didn't. And so everybody prays. Kids, write this down. Pray. Just that one word, pray. Because you see, there are times in our lives where people come to our mind, we don't expect it. People that you may have met only once. People that you... that are good friends that you haven't talked to in a long time, people that you don't even like, okay? Family members you're estranged from. There's times where people bring names of people to your head, and what if that's the Holy Spirit asking you to pray for them at that moment? Because, you know what, we believe that prayer changes things. And so we pray... because we believe things happen when we pray, much like blowing that cup off the head. You couldn't see my breath, but you could see the effect of the breath. And so often we don't get to see the effect of our prayers, but if we believe that they're powerful, if we believe that they're meaningful, we should pray with all fervency. Amen? Amen. So if prayer is something you're interested in, we have some cards back there called Live Dead Pray, and that's where if you want to, you can form a Live Dead prayer group where you and two other people agree to meet once a month for an hour to pray for a Live Dead team, and they will connect you with a team on the ground, and you will have the chance to actually to interact with those missionaries, maybe via like a Skype call. And you can hear specific prayer requests that those missionaries need. And so if you want information on that, we have a card back there at our table you can feel free to take, and that we can get you connected with us or with another missionary on the ground. But you have to agree to pray with at least two other people and for an hour a month, all right? So if you're interested, please take the card back there. All right, the next one is give. Everyone say give. Kids, you might want to write that down, give. Okay, all right, so G-I-V-E, give. So this is the one that it's always a little bit awkward me talking about, but you know what, it has to be said, because the truth is missionaries can't get to where they're called to go without your help. And so when you look at nationwide giving, okay, of all money given in churches, only 6% goes towards missions. 6% of all giving in the church goes towards missions. If you look at only places that are unreached, of places that don't have churches now, that number goes down to 1%. 1% of American church giving goes to places that there's no churches in other parts of the world. So Americans spend more on chewing gum and pet food than on giving to world missions. Okay, now then here's the other one. When you look at, consider only money spent in unreached places. Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets. Halloween costumes for their pets. That's $500 million. Americans spend more on Halloween costumes for their pets than on giving to unreached places. And so there's two things here. First of all, it challenges me that I need to look at and reconsider what I'm giving to look at how I'm giving and to see if it's important to me. If it's important to Jesus, it should be important to me. And secondly, Brent, I think you and I need to start a business. Okay, I think we need to start a pet costume business, all right? We can make this happen, right? Okay, maybe we'll talk about it afterwards. All right. So the thing is, can you put that next slide up there? So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Could you bring that stuff up here for me, Gracie? So it's not just a matter of giving, but it's also what's important to God is how we give. And kids, like when I talk to other kids, like when you do something wrong and your parents say, now go apologize, all right? It's not just about the act of saying, I'm sorry, all right? You know, you can say, I'm sorry, you know, or you can say, I'm so sorry, all right? One of those counts and one doesn't. With God, it's much the same way. God doesn't look at what you're giving, God looks at how you're giving it. God looks at whether you're willing to give cheerfully and thankfully, or whether you're giving as if it's like a bill, all right? Or giving like, you know, none of it, tax season is upon us, right? I haven't done my taxes yet, but who loves paying their taxes, all right? Uncle Sam doesn't care how you pay your taxes, all right? But God does. God cares how you give, all right? Now, sometimes we get caught up in the size of our gift. We get caught up saying, you know what, I can't give a whole lot. I can't give very much. I can't, my gift only has 10, all right? And maybe that's the first number, 0, all right? But, so we judge our gifts by how big it is, but that's not what God says. God judges us by how we give, all right? Now, I want to do a little demonstration for you right here. So if you look here in my hand, I've got a bunch of bubbles, and some are big and some are small. That's sort of like our gifts. But God says it doesn't matter, because when we give and we have Him add to it, then He takes our gifts and makes them bigger than we could have ever thought that they would be. Because God takes what we have and He transforms it through His Holy Spirit, so the size of the gift doesn't matter. It's what He does with it. Amen? How are you guys scared by that? A little bit startled? I always, when I do that, I have to always look up and check the ceiling, right? To make sure I'm not going to, like, start the fire, you know, start the fire department coming or whatever. So, anyway. By the way, also, I always have to say, don't try this at home. Okay? Don't try this at home. Go to a friend's home. No, don't do that either. No, don't try this at home. So God loves when we give, but God loves how we give. All right, the last point is go. Kids, write down go. G-O. Very good. So what are the three words you have on your paper, kids? Say them out loud. Pray, give, and go. Perfect. You might want to give that paper to Pastor Andy after service, maybe. He might have something for you. So we go because Jesus told us to. So go ahead and put that slide. Go ahead and put that and go to the next one. So the Great Commission doesn't happen without someone going, all right? And so this is our verse for us actually going overseas. And so it's on our prayer cards. So how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And so this is where we feel called to go overseas, because you see, the gospel is about relationships. You know, we can post things online, and we can have outreaches, and we can do websites, and we can have chat groups online and reaching people around the world. And those are effective. But God also commands us to go, because there's nothing like having a person come face to face to share the gospel with you. And I always remember that God didn't send an email to us to save us. God didn't post it on a website for us to go find it. God didn't make a Facebook post sharing it. God sent his son. And God came himself in his son to earth to die for us in person, in human, in flesh. And so I think that there is power when we go. And so we are called to go overseas. And let me give you one example of how this can work. So there was a missionary family that had transitioned over working overseas, and their son was struggling. Their son was having a difficult time with the cultural transition, and he felt very lonely. He was thinking of maybe the friends that were behind, and he didn't have any friends at his school, and feeling just very isolated. And his parents didn't know what to do, and so his parents prayed. His parents prayed for one friend, prayed that his son would have a friend to engage with and to build relationships with. Well, pretty soon after that, God heard their prayers and God answered their prayers. And so God sent another boy to their school, and these two boys started interacting and engaging and playing together. And pretty soon this Christian boy is playing over at this other boy's house, and this other family is Muslim. And pretty soon then this Muslim boy is now playing over at this Christian family's house, and they're there every day. And so now then the parents get together, and the parents have dinner, and they meet and they talk. And the Muslim family said, "We have been praying to meet Christians because we have questions." You see, there's places where people, if they wanted to meet a Christian, they wouldn't know where to go. There are places that if they wanted to go find a church to even just check it out, to answer a question, they wouldn't know where to go because there are none. And so that's what we feel called to do, is to go and to share God's love with people that we ride in the taxi with people we're on the bus with people that we shop at the grocery stores with or we buy bread with, is to do and to be that Christian light and to be vocal about saying, you know what, we're Christians. And we would love to talk with you, and we'll talk about our faith, and we'd love to hear about your faith, but we really want you to know about our faith, you know? And that's what we feel called to do, is to go. But I want to tell you, you may be sitting there saying, maybe you're called to go overseas. We view our role right now not just as advocating for our experience right now, for what we're doing, but we feel called that if you feel called to go overseas, and I don't care how old you are, if you are 8 to 80, is that God can stir in you to go and to give your life, to give your future and your hopes and your dreams for him in another country. And if you feel that stirring, I want to encourage you, obey. I don't want to shortchange, because I know kids that have been called to go overseas from very young, and so I don't want to shortchange this step. But some of you may be sitting there saying, you know what, God bless you, all right? I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't even like to. It's a stretch for me to come to church, all right? And I want to tell you that you're called to go somewhere. You may be called to go on a short-term trip overseas like we have been, all right? You may be called to go across the street. You may be called to go next door. You may be called to go across the hallway in your office workplace just to talk to the person next to you and to maybe invite them to church. You may be called to go to your neighbor to invite them to bring their kids to the Easter extravaganza that's going to be here in the park, all right? You may be called to go start helping Pastor Andy with the kids, all right, during churches, because you know what? Kids need people and adults in their lives that care about them and willing to disciple them to look, grow up and follow after Jesus. See, I grew up in Crete. I grew up here. I lived at 1425 Code Street, all right, a block and a half from Doane College. My dad worked at Crete State Bank. My mom worked at the Denim Depot along, you know, years and years ago, all right? I'm the result of someone that had a VBS in downtown Crete when I was 4 years old. And there were people working and volunteering there, and they gave an invitation. I responded to Jesus and got saved at 4 years old because someone volunteered and was willing to say, kids are important enough to invest time in. You are called to go. Now, I'm the result of someone else sacrificing. Are you willing to sacrifice? And you may never know the result. All right, I'm way over time. I need to finish up quickly. These next slides. So when I was a teacher overseas, I was talking to my kids one day, and I taught fourth grade. And kids, you love homework, right? Yes? One. I got one or two. Write these names down. All right, we'll tell their parents. All right. And my kids are complaining that it was too hard. They didn't want to try. And I told them a parable. I told them about what Jesus said. And here's the parable that Jesus said. Jesus said there was a landowner. There was a man who had a lot of money, and he was going on a trip, and he wanted to give some of his money to his servants to take care of the money while he was gone. And he gave one of his servants 5 talents, all right, or 5 bags of gold. He gave one of his servants 2 bags of gold, and he gave one of his servants 1 bag of gold. And he said, take care of this until I get back. And so he went on his trip, and then go to the next slide. And so then 2 of the servants, they went out, and 1 servant went, and he invested it, all right? He went, and he bought businesses, and he went, and he earned money back. He earned more gold back for the master. And the other one, he took the 2 bags of gold, and he earned it for the master and doing other things and buying and selling. But then the third one, go ahead and go to the next slide. The third one, he took the 1 bag, and he buried it in the ground. And then pretty soon, the master came back in town. Go to that next slide. And he called the servants to him, and he said, hey, come, I'm back in town, all right? Bring what I gave you, and let's settle accounts. And the first servant came, and he said, master, you gave me 5 talents, and here's 5 more that I've earned for you. And the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then he called the second servant, the one he gave 2, and he said, hey, what have you done? And he said, look, master, you gave me 2, and here I've earned 2 more. Here's 4 bags back for you. And he said, well done, you good and faithful servant. And then the third one came, and he said, master, I was afraid. I knew that you were a hard man. I knew that you succeed in places where you don't expect, and so I didn't know what to do. I was afraid, and so I took what you gave me, and I buried it in the ground. And here it is back, just like you gave me. And the master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, the thing that strikes me about this always, this servant, this guy, he didn't take what the master gave him and go buy a new truck. He didn't take what the master gave him and go spend it on Starbucks every day. He didn't take what the master gave him and buy himself new clothes every day. He did nothing. So, doing nothing's not an option. You see, I don't think it's an accident. I think it's maybe it's a happy accident that you see a measure of weight was a talent, all right? A measure of, it was like saying 5 pounds, all right, to say 5 talents. And it was a lot of money. And so too often you and I, we look at the talents that we have and we say, you know what? I don't have 5 talents. I can't sing that well. You know, I don't have even 2 talents. I only have 1 talent. So I'm not going to do anything with it. So the thing is that Jesus calls us wicked and lazy when we do nothing. And so my point, my message today, as much as I've talked, I want to talk about everybody prays, everybody gives, and everybody goes. And you can either do those 3 things or you can disobey. And so, when my wife and I were praying this morning, I would say the word that came to mind today is repent. And so, I don't know who, but one or more of you today, you may need to repent. You may need to repent of your attitude about prayer. You may need to repent of your attitude about giving. And you may need to repent about your attitudes about going or your attitudes about your neighbors. Because the truth is that God has called us to do these three things. And if you're not, God calls us wicked and lazy. So, see, the truth is, I've heard other preachers say this, at the end of our life, you're going to hear one of two things. You're either going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or you're going to hear, "Well..." So I'm going to close in prayer and then Pastor Brent. Jesus, thank you so much. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, thank you for the opportunities that you've put in front of us. God, I pray that we can make the most of our opportunities. God, you've given each and every single one of us talents. You've given us gifts. You've given us breath. And Lord, I pray that we can be faithful with what you've given us, and that we can use them in a way to honor you. And Lord, if there's people here, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, if there's people here that need to repent, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in them to help change their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. When Andy and I were praying yesterday morning, and we were kind of wrapping things up, God just kind of impressed upon Andy's heart a word. What was that word?
I don't remember. I don't.
It was repentance. Yeah. Remember? He talked about just how winter, sometimes there's a lot of things that die in winter time, right? And we just, it's kind of God's pruning us. I'm going to have those that are going to help out with prayer, if you'd come forward. And then if you could all stand this morning. There's several ways that maybe we just need to know Christ as our Lord and our Savior this morning. And so that always begins with repenting of our sin, right? Saying, "Christ, come into my heart and my life, be my Lord and my Savior." And there's maybe people here, maybe children, maybe adults, that you need to ask Christ into your heart. You need to get your heart right with God. You don't know if you're to die today, if you'd go into eternity or not. So if that's you, I'm just going to have you join Victor and Yolanda, Christy, if you all could come to the front. And we want to pray with you this morning. There's also some of us here that, as Jeff mentioned, God's given you talents. Maybe he's given you one talent. Maybe he's given you two. Maybe he's given you five. Maybe you're a 10-talent person. You just have all this gift. But you're not using what God has given you to further his kingdom here on earth. And I'm not going to point any fingers. I'm busy pointing fingers at myself, okay? And but would you be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning? Maybe God is speaking to you by his Spirit and saying, "You know what? I've called you to go. I've called you to pray. I've called you to give." And you're not responding to those nudges. And by doing that, we need to repent this morning. If that is us, if we haven't responded to his call to prayer, if we haven't responded to that call to give or to go, whether it's across the street or to go on a missions trip or to do missions full time, God's called us to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. And so if that applies to us, that's up to you this morning, but you have to respond to God. And just let God speak to your heart and to your life. And so let's just come in prayer. And as we pray and as we sing this song, if you just respond, you can come forward. You can make an altar where you're at. But I just really encourage you to respond. Coming forward many times is just a good statement saying to God, "I hear you. You're coming through, and I'm responding and to what you're speaking to my life." And so respond to God this morning. Father, this morning, forgive us of our sins. And sometimes, Lord God, it's not outright sin. It's just we sometimes sit upon and fail to do nothing, Lord God, with God, those nudges that you speak to us, Lord God. Maybe it's those times you've called us to pray, and as Andy mentioned earlier, it's not always easy to pray, to come before you, Lord God, and to seek your face. Lord, it's not always easy to give. Usually when we give, and we're glad we did, and there's joy, but it's not always easy to give, especially sacrificially, Lord God. Lord God, it's not always easy to go. Sometimes we're it stretches us. It moves us beyond what we're comfortable with, God. It's not always easy to go. But when we do, people's lives are changed. We never know that if that one person is somebody that is going to change the world. Somebody led Billy Graham to the Lord. And Billy Graham led thousands, if not millions, to the Lord. We never know just that person, that one person that we lead to the Lord, how they'll change the world. So, Father, this morning, I just pray that we are open to your voice and what you are speaking to us. We give you the thanks and the praise. We ask in your name. If God is speaking to you, would you come this morning? Just respond. We got the altar benches here this morning. And if you need prayer, join us at the front here this morning.